Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you! Yeah, you, in the car! Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. Macca.
Now, do you reckon Peter Fox is listening from Palm Beach in Queensland? You know, he's moved up there. You know, he's a truckie.
I'm not even sure you're talking about, Macca.
Oh, he's the son of Lindsay Fox.
Right.
And he's moved up to Queensland.
Because?
He wants to live in Queensland, but he was allowed to because he's a truckie. So if you're walking down Palm Beach, just remember you've passed another fox, as they say. I think it's a really interesting story.
So funny.
Anyway.
We've got Nick Rees on the phone. Nick Rees is a principal fellow at Melbourne School of Government at Melbourne University, and he's also a very keen student of American politics. Good morning to you, Nick. Good morning to you, Nick. I think we are having trouble getting him on. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good. Now, great to have you back on the airwaves.
There's something about City of Melbourne councillors and their phones. If it's not you, it's Sally Cap. What's going on with the phones, mate?
Look, I don't know. I'm one of those people who actually carries or has multiple mobile phones.
So
Be you were actually calling me on the wrong phone.
No, that's too hard. You can't do that. You have to have one phone.
Anyway. Nick, we've seen some really interesting developments during the week. We've seen Joe Biden's has picked his vice presidential running mate, Kamala Harris. We saw a spike in donations on the day that that happened. We can see that she's already got under Donald Trump's skin because he called her mean. I think he called her mean. So once he starts attacking someone, you know... that they're getting traction. Is this going to make a difference, Nick?
Look, it certainly, I think it will, guys. Look, can I start by saying I think it was a great pick by Joe Biden. It just feels right. And it's a great, there's great complementarity between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So for those who haven't been following this closely, Kamala Harris has quite a distinguished sort of political background. She was the Attorney General of California, which California is, I think, the seventh largest economy in the world. She's been a U.S. Senator since 2017. Her family story is quite an extraordinary one, both her parents being immigrants to the U.S. of Jamaican and Indian background. She is only the second black woman to... become a member of the U.S. Senate. And, of course, if she is successful in November, she'll be the first woman to serve as vice president. Now, here's a little bit of trivia for you, gentlemen. Do you know that she's not the first woman to ever run for vice president?
Geraldine Ferraro.
Oh, well done. Yeah. I forgot you are an encyclopedia of U.S. politics. What year was that, and who was she?
Okay, now what year? It was Michael Dukakis. That was post Jimmy Carter, wasn't it?
Lordy Lord.
It was not quite. It was Mondale.
Oh, Mondale. Okay, there okay. Yeah, yes. Who was Michael Dukakis's VP?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, someone memorable, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Okay, now who was the second woman to have run for vice president? I think this is easier, the second one.
Oh, yes, it was...
Come on, Tash.
I can't think of her name.
She is still a figure in US politics.
Yes, she is.
She's from the north.
Yes, and she loves holding a gun as well.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
That's it.
Yeah. Indeed.
I could see her, but I couldn't recall her name. So tell us, Nick, what do you think is going to happen? I know it's hard to crystal ball gaze, but what do you think is going to happen? Where's this going to land?
Look, so I think the pick of Kamala Harris was, as I said, a great move this week. It's definitely put extra energy into the Biden campaign. You could see Biden had an extra pep in his step this week. The thing about Kamala Harris is, you know, she's very smart. She's such a professional. You could see that the Republicans were trying to line up this attack on Biden, that, you know, you vote for Biden, you get sort of Chauncey Gardner as your president, and the real power will be these sort of weird left figures who would reside in the VP's office. Whereas Kamala Harris, she's certainly more progressive than Biden on racial issues, on environment, on social policy, but she's also
tough on law and order, though.
That's right, and the fact that she, as attorney, U.S. attorney in California, she was quite tough on crime. I don't think that hurts the Democrat campaign at all. And of course, the fact that she's got she's black will be a great energizer for a lot of the Democrat base and help them turn out to help with that Democrat campaign. So, all up, I think it was a really smart pick. And as you said, Macca, the fact that they pulled in $26 million in the 24 in fundraising in the 24 hours. Afterwards shows that surge of support. And polls that have come out this week since the announcement have shown that it was a very popular pick by Biden.
Now, a listener here has said that Joe Biden is bland and boring. I don't necessarily agree. Joe Biden is well known for messing things up.
Well, this listener also says that Kamala Harrison brings some charisma to the campaign.
But not just charisma, she actually brings a huge policy background and a commitment. Look, one of the challenges, Nick, here is going to be there's a lot of talk about the swing states, and there's a number of states that are really important to how the US elects presidents through an electoral college, which most people don't understand how it works. Most Americans have no idea how it works. But these states, a number of states are really important. You know, you can say, okay, this is a Democrat state, this is a Republican state. There are these other states that could go either way and that they're going to decide the result of the election. How is Biden and Harris, how is it going to play out in the swing states versus, you know, the doddering, lying Trump and, you know, the lapdog Pence? How is it going to play out in those states, you know, considering they both have, both candidates have a base, but how do you see it playing out?
Look, one of the attractions of Biden's candidacy was that he was seen to play well, if you like, in particularly those Midwest, well, they used to be known as the Blue Wall, but they became the swing states that swung through Trump and delivered him that unexpected victory in 2016. And the interesting thing that polls over the last fortnight have been showing is that even though national polls are showing that the race is tightening, Biden's still got quite a substantial lead, I should say, but the polls have been showing a tightening, which I should stress as well, is to be expected. Biden's lead in those key Midwest states, so I'm talking, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, does seem to be holding up. And, you know, Biden's got this sort of white working class backstory that he tells, and that's very much the Midwest of the US, and his numbers do seem to be holding up well. I mean, the fact that Trump is very worried about what the polls are looking like, I think was shown this week by, you know, him making yet again more sort of outrageous claims where he has given credence to allegations that Kamala Harris may not be eligible to run for president. So this is a rehashing of the old Bertha claims, which was made against Barack Obama. Remember, people used to say that he wasn't really born in America. He was born in Indonesia or somewhere else. And
it's a desperate attempt to discredit, isn't it? And undermine.
And, And mainstream Republicans never touched that whole Bertha movement against Obama. But Trump, this is before he actually ran for president, was known to be a supporter and funded it and used to speak to it. Now, he ultimately walked away from that because it was just so bat poo crazy beforehand. But it was still an important part of
Batshit crazy.
It was very much part of that Trump push and how he tapped into the Tea Party. Now, the ghosts of election past seem to be coming back this week, with Trump again giving some credence to this crazy theory doing the round that because Kamala Harris's parents were both born outside the US, Jamaica and India, that she, under the US Constitution, may not be entitled to run for president. Now, of course, look, the mainstream media is just jumping at that. This is just stoking, you know, the coals of racism, and it's Trump back to, you know, his worst.
So what are the swing states, Nick? I know that Iowa is, but that's only six votes, I think, six electoral college votes. Wisconsin is 10, I think, from memory. What are some of the, like Wyoming? Well, it's 3. Why would you bother? Massachusetts, 11. Ohio, sorry, is 18. So 18 is a lot. Do you want to give a really quick...
Yeah, sure. So, look, so some of the other ones, Florida is a big swing state. I can't remember exactly how many electoral college votes they carry, but...
29 or 30 from memory.
I am very impressed here, but that's a huge swing state. Michigan is another key swing state. I think you've mentioned Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. North Carolina is another one that is always looked at come election day. And the Arizona is another kind of key state. And the interesting thing is Biden is leading in 5 of the 6 battleground states, according to polls out this week.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's about 20 from memory.
I'm a bit nervous about the shy voters,
yeah,
to be quite frank. I have been following the polls, but my suspicion is that the shy voter has not declared their hand yet.
They're like the people that vote for Pauline Hanson but say they're not when they're doing a poll.
Correct. Nick, just quickly before we run out of time.
They can't deal with 2 questions at a time, you see.
Mail-in, or as we refer to it as postal voting, Trump is still hell-bent on undermining postal voting. And in fact, this morning I heard some media reports suggesting that the Postal Service may not be able to cope. Is that real, or has that been sort of generated by the anti-postal voters?
Look, I think it's the anti-postal voters. I mean, the thing that gets lost in this debate is postal voting is actually well established in the United States.
In fact, Donald Trump has voted by mail 11 times.
That's right. It's regularly used in state votes. It's established in national elections in some states. It's permissible in all states. So this whole idea that the United States, you know, supposedly the most advanced economy in the world, is unable to run a postal vote is just absolute bunkum. And the reason we know that's bunkum is because in each state we've shown that it's been done before and done successfully. So look, this is just part of the Trump playbook, where you discredit the process, you sort of make out that there's a conspiracy and somehow to undermine Trump, and this sort of feeds the anger of his base and makes them more likely to mobilise. So it's probably going to surprise you to hear me say this, but yes, it's all part of a Trump tactic to retain the
Nick, White. We're also hearing, we've just heard from one of our listeners, that Trump has been cutting funding to the Postal Service in order to try to interrupt the processing of votes. Is there truth in that, or is that another one of those bits of mythology that's floating about?
Look, I'm not sure. I mean, of course, Trump has delivered very significant cuts to major US agencies, so it would not surprise me that there had been cuts to the US Postal Service. I mean, like the Australian Postal Service, the US Postal Service has been struggling in recent years as people, you know, make the shift to emails and electronic communications, and other companies, private businesses have stepped in to take up a lot of the more lucrative parcel delivery part of their business. So the US Postal Service has been struggling, but and it wouldn't surprise me if the Trump administration has made the cut to US Post, but whether that was part of some concerted campaign to undermine the ability to run a postal vote in November, I don't actually know. One issue I do want to raise with you guys quickly is Joe Biden made a very interesting move on face masks this week in US yes. politics. So obviously, Melburnians will be very familiar with the wearing of face masks, the trials and tribulations that come in our lives from that. Now, Biden this week has done what some might say is quite a brave move and called for the mandatory wearing of face masks in public settings in the US.
Yes.
Now, a bit of backdrop here, of course, you know, yesterday there was 6,000 new cases of coronavirus in the US, 1,500 deaths. To put that into sort of a per capita sense for listeners, you know, in Australia, we're running at about 8 deaths per million people from coronavirus. In the US, it's about 800 deaths per million. So it's literally, quite literally, 100 times worse in the US than it is in Australia. Mm. So Biden's come out and said call for mandatory wearing of masks. Of course, this is something that Trump will resist because, you know, he still refuses to wear a mask in settings when he's advised to do so, although he does now wear a mask from time to time. For a long time, he didn't. Mm. So given, you know, Americans' love of freedoms and sort of that strong, you know, the much stronger anti-mask wearing sentiment in the US compared to Australia, I thought that was quite a brave move by Biden this week.
I would suggest Donald Trump needs a ball gag.
A what? A what?
A ball gag, you know, like a ball...
In his, one for the Joy FM listeners.
In his gob. Next time we talk, Nick, we're going to have a real discussion about the Electoral College because people need to understand how it works. And
I don't know that they need to, Mac.
No, I think they do.
I don't know that they need
to. Look, you can have the popular vote, but the Electoral College, that's what decides an election, not the popular vote.
Nick, we are out of time, but just before we do go, what do you expect the result will be in 100 days?
Oh, gee. Look, I'm still expecting... I think Biden is going to win. I think he's going to win, not by a huge margin, but I think he will win comfortably. I think the pick of Kamala Harris this week just really... I think firmed up people's expectations that, look, he's got a really strong ticket there. In some ways, the weaknesses of the Biden as a candidate is very much offset by Kamala Harris. And so that team that they've now got there leading the Democrats, I think, certainly makes me feel more confident than I did a week ago that Biden's going to do it.
I leave you with this thought, Nick. In politics, you know, in terms of the numbers... What's the difference between second and last?
Do tell. What is the difference between second and last, Macca?
The spelling.
Huh. Nick, thanks a lot for your time this morning.
There ain't no second prize.
There ain't.
Thanks for your time this morning. Well, of course, we'll have you back on again.
And I'm going to send you an image, Nick. You'll like it.
We'll have you back on again. And we will ask you every time we speak with you on air what you think the result's going to be. So we'll... continue to refine that as we get closer to the election.
Yep.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.